we're in chapter 18. We're working through Exodus. We're coming almost to the end of, at least for my expository preaching on Exodus. I think we are going to go through Exodus when after Moses gave the Ten Commandments. Then we're going to move to New Testament, the book of Hebrew. Because Hebrew is a New Testament book that relates to the Old Testament the most often. So we want us to see what is all this history of Israel had to do with Jesus Christ. You know, what is Israel had to do with Jesus Christ? So we will move on to Hebrew once we're done with Exodus chapter 20. But today is chapter 18. And this is an interesting story. Because up until now, Moses only listens to God. And God only talked to Moses, right? And everything that the Hebrew does, God told Moses to tell Hebrew, to tell the Israelites. So Moses is the person in between God and his people. So Moses received messages from God, and he talks to God, and that is the communication channel for the past 17 chapters. But today, you see Moses listen to another person. Granted, it's his father-in-law. I mean, what can you do? You know, it's your father-in-law. But Moses listened to him. And this was the first time Moses listened to a man. Not God, a man. But even more surprising, that this man is not a Hebrew. Is not a Jew. More surprising, this man perhaps is a worshiper of idols. It's not. He's a pagan. He's a pagan. He's not Jews. Oh man, you say, what can a pagan have anything to say to a Christian? Can there? What does pagan have to offer to a worshiper of God? Did you ever have to listen to or take advice from a non-Christian about girlfriends, about your career, about school to apply? Did you ever thought maybe these people have something to say? Maybe. I'm not saying that they all have something to say. But our reaction is that we just automatically tune them off because they're not one of us. They don't understand who God is. They don't worship God. So why should I pay any attention to what he has to say? That is the story, I think, for us today. To see that God can speak to anyone. And God can speak through anyone. So let's just read through chapter 18. It's 27 verses. It's a story about Jethro. Jethro and Moses and his advice. And there's some good leadership insight into how to become a good leader. But that is not the point. The point is that what did you learn about God in this story? Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershon, For Moses said, I had become an alien in a foreign land. And the other name was Eliezer. For he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' son and wife, came to him in the desert where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greet each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardship they had met along the way, and how the Lord has saved them. Verse 9. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifice to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he says, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses answered him, because the people come to me to see God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourself out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their dispute to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judge for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple case they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They serve as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decide themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these words. And we pray, Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit will take these words and make them to see that your will and for them, and also your ways and your purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Interesting story. So the first point is the visit. The visit goes from verse 1 to verse 12. The visit of Jethro. Who's Jethro? I mean, other than scripture says he's Moses' father-in-law. Do you remember the story of Exodus when Moses escaped Egypt because Pharaoh wants to kill him? He went into Midian and then he met Jethro's daughter. And then Jethro's daughter introduced him to Jethro. He was the priest of Midian. That's what the scripture says in Exodus chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, if you want to check it out. And then Jethro gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses as wife. So he is a Midianite. And who are the Midianites? Who are they? And this is a trivial question. How many wives does Abraham have? How many women that he fathered children? And then he only had one wife. You know, legitimately, he only had one wife, that's Sarah. But how many women does he have children with? Thank you. Three women. Okay? And the second woman is Hagar, right? And she born him Ishmael. Ishmael becomes the father of Arab countries. Arabic. So there is two famous ones, Sarah and Hagar. But there is a third one after Sarah died. And she bore him the most children, most son. And if you want to see this, this is in Genesis chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. And they talk about her name. Genesis 25, verse 1 and 2, and her children's name. See, Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She born him Zimran, Jokshan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Midian is one of the sons. So you say that the Midianites are actually the descendant of Abraham from another mother, another wife. So he's a descendant of Abraham. So in some way, I believe that they have this vague idea about a God, the Lord. So you cannot say they are like Canaanites who are from the beginning is idol worshippers. And Canaanites or the Amalekites, like we talked about last time. Amalekites, the one that who come and attacked Israel at their most vulnerable time. So Midianites are a little bit more God-friendly than the Amalekites. So this is who Jethro is. And also from verse 9 to 12, you see that Jethro praised the Lord, right? Praise be to the Lord, verse 10, who rescued you, Moses, from the hands of Egyptian and the Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hands of Egyptians. So verse 11, now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. So in Jethro's heart is that the Lord is the greatest God of all. But he has not yet ventured to say that he is the only God. He says he's powerful, he's bigger, he's greater than all these local gods. So that's his confessions. That's what he knows about the Lord. That's what he knows about the Lord. Unlike the Jews who says there is only one God, right? And then pretty soon we're gonna study the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments is about this only God. You can have no other God besides me. So that's Jethro's idea. That's Jethro's idea about who this God is, and he's friendly towards the Hebrews, and then he offers sacrifice, and he ate with the Hebrews. So this is the person that offer advice. So he's not a complete God's enemy like Amalekites. I think I will be hesitate to listen to Amalekite's advice, you know, about anything. But at least this Midianites are friendly, although still a pagan. Okay. And Jethro was there not too long before he discovered something. Is that Moses has a tendency to micromanage. Micromanagement starts here. You know, what is the micromanaging means? That he has his hands on everything, right? I mean, for Moses' case, it's kind of natural because he's the only mediator between him and God. So all these disputes come to him. They ask him, what does God decide? What does God say about this dispute that I have with my neighbor? Moses is the only person that is worthy to answer that question. So they bring all these issues to him, big and small. I don't know what the small disputes are, you know, but anyway, day after day, weeks after week. I don't know if Moses ever thought about delegating, because that was the advice later. But for a micromanager, he doesn't trust other people to do his job or to delegate to other people to do the work, because he wants to be the one that is always be in control. I don't know if Moses is such a control freak, but he has a tendency to not letting go of his responsibility. Maybe he doesn't know that he can do that, because, you know, he's God's spokesperson. So I don't know if he knows he can do that. But Jethro come and told him. Remember, this is the pagan coming to him and says, hey, this is not sustainable. You can't do this. Because the scripture says what? They have these people standing around. They are waiting in line to talk to Moses to decide. They were waiting in line. And they do this from morning to evening, 7 days a week. If he does this, if Moses continue to micromanage, there's only a couple of outcomes. Either he die from exhaustions, or he have a mental health crisis. And this is, either one is not good for the Hebrew, for the nations. So the solution is staring at Moses' face. Delegate. To delegate. Let other people to take some of your responsibility. But is that God's will? Do you think it's God's will for you to step away from the responsibility that God gave you? And then let other people to do that? You know, I can understand Moses' hesitations, because that's all the pastor had, the same issues. Can I step away and let other people to do what I'm supposed to call to do? Can I trust somebody to speak on the pulpit for me? for God, not for me, but to have substitute speaker? Do I always have to be the teacher in the church? See, I can perfectly understand what Moses is going through. And the father-in-law come and give him that. You need to delegate. But you can't just delegate to anybody, right? You can't just delegate to anybody. So, Jethro give him advice. He says what? You gotta teach them. Teach them means all the Hebrews. You're gonna teach all the Hebrews, all the Israelites, all God's people about God's law and decrees. This is knowledge. Knowledge. To be the judge of the people, you got to know God's will for each and individual. Well, you know, God's will is bounded by His law and decree. He's not gonna give you an advice and tell you something that is out of His law and decree. What He's gonna tell you about specific your dispute or your guidance or your will, it's gotta be bounded by His general law and decree. So that is something that you can teach because God made it very clear to the Hebrews. So, Jethro says, you teach them. You teach all the people. So all these people knows, okay, within this boundary is that we come to ask God, what shall we do specifically? So there will not be any dispute, any argument, unnecessary argument. So, first thing, you teach everybody about God's law and decree. And then from this group, after you teach them, he says, then second is what? Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain. And appoint them as official over 1,150s and tens. So, in other words, from this big pool of people that you taught them about God's law and decree, select from this pool individuals that who will do your job, who will do your work, who will do your work. Who are these people? Well, these people are trustworthy men and hate dishonest gain. This is a character. As you select leaders, not only that as this is talking about in the context of church or a community of God, you have to select people who have knowledge about God, about the Bible, about the decree and laws. Right? You need to select people from that pool. And then in that pool, you have to select character. People with high integrities. People who what? Trustworthy. So you trust His judgment. People trust His judgment. People trust His wisdom. People trust Him. So that's first characteristic of this leader. And second, that he hates dishonest gain. Hate dishonest gain. I know a woman who check out in the supermarket line, and the clerk made a mistake, undercharge her by $5. Okay, most of the people said, okay, blessing from the Lord, I got $5 more, you know, I think I had to spend $5. But this woman will go to the clerk and says, you charged me $5 less. Here is $5 for you. That's a person hate dishonest gain. Even it's a small thing, but she will pursue it and return the money. And this kind of people is what you need to select as your leader, as people that you can trust to delegate this responsibility. So it is not just anybody. These people has to have these qualities. So they have to be knowledgeable about the Bible. They have to have high integrity as a character. But then there is also a third thing. Often we bypass that. For the third thing is that verse 23. If you do this, and God so commands. God so commands. What does that mean? That means you have selected these people. You presented to God. I said, God, these are the people I think meets the qualifications to be the judges. Lord, what do you think? As God commands, so as God approves, as God confirms to Moses. So there's three things for this leadership thing in the church, I feel. You know, or in the Christian community, or in this case, the Hebrew community, is that knows the Bible, knows the will of God, knows God's law and decrees, high integrity, high character people. I mean, you see this in 1 Timothy as Paul teaches the church to select deacons. Character is utmost, more than skill and abilities. So character is important in the selection process. And then lastly, you have to confirm with God. God, are these the right people? Are these the people that you select, that you approve? So that's what Jethro says to Moses. And what is the most amazing part about this is that Moses listened. You know, I do always questions when I read here. Can God speak to Moses directly about this advice? Why can't God just speak to Moses and say, hey, you need to delegate. You do this. I mean, select these people with these qualifications. And God can even give them names, right? Select Joshua, select Caleb, select this and select that to be the judges. But God didn't do that. God did not do that. You know, God led Jethro to give Moses counsel. And the pagan to give Moses godly advice. So why does God do that? What does that show about God? What does that show about Moses, who are, you know, very close with God? You know, to listen to somebody, I mean, this is from Moses' point of view. To listen to somebody, you gotta have a whole lot of humilities. Especially listen to the heart. Listen, not just saying, okay, I hear you, but pay attention to what he says. It takes a lot of humilities. I know, because a lot of time I don't listen. It's just blah, 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 and you just kind of dismiss it. Especially concerning maybe spiritual things, maybe concerning the Bible. Dismiss it. It takes a lot of humility to really listen to someone else. And in this case, a pagan. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Moses listened. Because I believe Moses think that God can speak to him through many, many different people. I mean, through Jethro, perhaps through his wife, perhaps through his children. Moses believed that, that God can speak. So a lot of time we just think that God can only speak through his people, through people who are close to him, people who are, you know, who are definitely Christians. But just think, when you first heard the gospel, were you a Christian? You're not a Christian, of course. Because it's through the gospel you became a Christian. But God spoke to you. God spoke to you. You were a pagan. You might even be an idol worshiper. But maybe not you, but there are people who are idol worshiper and they hear God. So God speaks to these people. And God speaks through different people. I always like to use this example. God spoke through a donkey to the prophet Balaam. Right? I mean, you guys know the story. Balaam was the prophet of God. But then, he disobeyed God. So God used a donkey to speak to him. God can speak through donkeys. So why can't God speak through a person, even though he's a pagan? So I think Moses had that kind of understanding of who God is. If we believe God is the Lord of all, he can certainly choose any medium for him to speak, for you to understand his will. And let alone with these qualifications that Jethro so eloquently set out to us. And I think more to the heart, as you Christian come to church, and then you listen to pastor speak. This pastor, you might have some disagreement with him. Maybe you don't like this pastor. What he says is, you know, maybe in the past had offended you, or you know something about him that you don't like. So, but you come to church to worship, but you just kind of tune him out. When he starts speaking, you tune him out, you know, because you had this bias against him. That's a possibility. Or you just tune all the pastor out. When you come in, you know, blah, 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 blah. He speaks the same thing over and over again. Or he's just not interesting. You know, his message is just not interesting. So you tune him out. Okay. Some of you, I don't know if you do that because I can't tell by your facial expressions. But some people I can tell, you know why? Because they were playing on their cell phone. They were scrolling up and down on the cell phone. You can see that. So you knew definitely that he has already tuned you out. Sometime maybe the first 10 minutes of your sermon, you know? I can see that. So just be notify, okay? I know who's playing on his cell phone. But this is all kind of sign to say, God, you can only speak through people I respect. You can only speak to people I feel has a message. Today. Maybe next day, you don't feel that he's speaking to your heart, so you tune him out. This is what I'm saying, is that this is the danger for us who come before the Lord to worship, because we pick and choose God's spokesperson. We pick and choose God's spokesperson. And what that means is that God, you cannot speak through people I don't like, or people that I don't think that has a spiritual message for me, or people who is not as knowledgeable, or people who are younger than me. That's what you're saying to God. You can only speak through certain people. You can only speak through Moses. Well, I'm not even sure if Moses stand up here and speak to you that you will not tune him out. So I think as we come, finishing up this chapter, it's not about chapter about leadership principles, even though Jesuit has some very good insight into the leadership. But it is more about who God can speak through and speak to. God can speak to pagan. We are all pagan before we became Christians. God can speak to pagan, and God can speak through pagan. In order for us to understand, to receive that, we ought to have a bigger idea about God and has the humble heart like Moses, God's servant, who God spoke exclusively to receive a counsel from a man and from a pagan man. Requires a lot of humilities. So these are the things that I think we can take away as we continue to pursue God and listen to Him. His words come from everywhere. You just have to open your ear and your heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you speak. Sometimes, Lord, you don't even speak through people. You speak through your creations. Just like the psalmist says, that the creation, the day and the night speaks to your creativities, the flowers and the animals. So you speak to us continuously, always, let alone speaking to us through people. And so, Father, I just pray. I pray that you keep us humble and always be ready to receive your message, whether that come from your creations, or you come from your servant, or even coming from a pagan. We pray, Lord, that Jesus, that we always pay these attentions. We thank you for today as we gather, and we pray, Lord Jesus, you bless us. The best blessing, Lord, reveal yourself to us so we can know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.